Blog Talk Radio.
Hebrews, Hallelujah, 32. Bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We thank you. Thank you for your name. We came to glorify your name. If we had 6,000 songs, we could not thank you enough in the name of Jesus. Lord, we came to worship. We came to praise. We came to throw your name. We came to lift up holy hands in the sacred place of the sanctuary. God, we came to say thank you. We came to say, it's another day with Jesus, and we're so glad. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do and all you are. On this word of wisdom, God, speak to us and teach us and minister to us on tonight as we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word that has come forth. God, thank you for hallelujah that it will not come back for you, but it will accomplish that which you sent it to do. We thank you that the harvest is plentiful and we are the laborers. So, God, we thank you for the divine assignment. And we thank you, hallelujah, for those who have said yes to your will and yes to your way in this hour. So cover us, protect us, provide for us, encourage us, and keep us in your will. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God. Love the Lord. Amen. I love my God. I thank God for salvation. Thank God that one day I confess my heart, believe my heart, as many of us have done, and we are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost, filled, by the last time, in the name of Jesus, we thank God for salvation on this evening. Well, we make that safety as we shout out the stars of the line. Thank you all for your prayers. We're going to go right into this word. Amen. We thank God for the Spirit of God being in the place one day to go to your reviewing. We thank God for you. Hallelujah. Go to your Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Samuel. We have the last book in 1 Samuel. And we're looking at chapter number 30, beginning at verse number 1. Today, I want to talk about this evening tonight, as we go over the Word of God here. Just something's going on across the body of Christ. We're trying to find the spirit of discouragement now because we realize our path of that discouragement is that thing that the enemy tries to do and use to destroy dreams and destinies. But we, the people of God, have to remind ourselves of God, to encourage ourselves, and have to even be in the will of God and the Spirit of God, saying that the devil is a liar. There's a lot of spirit that's trying to persecute God's children. There's God up there. There are heresies, there's false teachings, false pastors and prophets. We are in that day. And a lot of the body of Christ is confused and
become discouraged. And that's why I want to talk about tonight, courage under the fire. Having courage under the fire. Because the truth is, we told many of us are going to grow up a lot. Our families are being attacked, our minds are being attacked, our money and our ministries are being attacked like never before. And we, under the fire of the enemy, have to stand. Doing all we can do to stand, we got to stand until. And we can see the life of David at the outset of his letter. We're going to see David and his men and his family so much that he loved them and wanted and believed in. Amen. Was taken away. But let's see how David responded. Amen. And it's going to help us how we should respond. And then we're going to look at Mark 9, chapter 11, and see John also under a fiery trial. But John responded somewhat of a different way. But in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 1, it says this: "And it came to pass that David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag, and came to Ziklag and burned them with fire, and had taken the women captives, that they were there, and they slew not any, they didn't kill anybody, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way." That's the word for God. I'm keep reading because there's so much I want to pull out of this, but I'm going to read and then we're going to talk about it. Verse number 3. "So David and his men came to the city, and the whole way was buried with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters and their children were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. They began to cry until they had no power to weep. And David's cry was taken Jephthah and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, comes. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieving, every man from his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Absalom the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray you, I'm asking you, bring me hither the ephod. And after the brought David the ephod, verse number 8, and David inquired or asked at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this truth? Shall I overtake them? And he asked him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." God, some of us, we got to go get it back. We got to pursue it and go get it back. Let him still no more. If ever we talk about courage, God bless you, we're talking about courage of the body. Because here we see David, a man of God, David, a man protected by God. David, a man after God's own heart. Now we see David being invaded, his family being taken captive, his children, his wife, everything that they had was burned. They did not kill the people or the livestock, but they burned the village. Amen. And that shows us right there that God will not allow the enemy to trigger so much. God will allow the enemy to go over so far. God will allow the enemy to trigger a limited amount of damage. If God allows it, that's why we can handle it. Because God will never put on us more than what we can bear. And we see David having to encourage himself, not necessarily because the people that invaded the land took the wives and children and the livestock, but the verse number 6 says, David encouraged himself and David became stressed because the people talked about something. We're in the face of the things that before God, I to say it, but we hear it often, and we hear it many times, where friends are turning on friends, and marriage people are turning on marriage people, and church folks are turning on church folks. We're in that day, amen, but the sacrifice is all around us. And God will just say, way before we got to this day. That's why it's so sometimes discouraging to be a child of God and his power. But I can't pronounce you in the devil. Sometimes you have to hurt yourself. You got to talk to yourself. And as I read this text on this time, I said, yes, we always say David and curse himself. But God, I'm going to go a little deeper. What do we say to the deceiver? Why does David curse himself? God, who stands to us? How do we encourage ourselves when we're feeling down, when we're feeling depressed, when we're feeling stressed out, when we're feeling like God is not adequate, when we feel that God has been experienced, and we feel the fear of the devil getting the best of us? How do we encourage ourselves? And our mind went on rewind. Glory be to God, the Holy Ghost. Our mind went on rewind, Pastor, when David and Hollywood, when we got out into the sheep, and Samuel came to Jesse to find that king. And I remember the word of God, how David was overlooked. He wasn't even considered, amen, to become king. And I can see David right now as he's going through this dilemma, reminding himself that God chose me. God didn't pick me. Glory be to God. It was God that I wrong. And it's not my heart and not my power of spirit. I was saved and he anointed me with the oil. God judges the heart while man judges the outward. I don't know why Samuel said that, but I can see David encouraging himself that God chose me. And that's what God is saying to you tonight. Say to yourself sometimes, I know I'm going through a trial. I know I'm in a storm right now. I know it too shall pass. But God, the pain, the suffering, what I'm bearing right now, it seems like it's overwhelming. And sometimes God says, look in the mirror, look in the mirror, God, and find out yourself that you are chosen, that you are handpicked, that there's millions of people on the face of the planet, but I call you by your name. And when you leave your body, what is it? Glory to God, I handpicked you. Just like we can turn it to break off our lives. I am kidding you because you are right, you are fresh. You are going to make me fruit. You are going to be productive. I knew you were going to serve me with the fire pain. I knew you were going to say yes, amen. Hallelujah. When you were going to get this way, I knew you were going to fall in your world. Who would not walk away from the sugar, walk away from the purpose, walk away from the promises of God? I knew you. And that's why I called you. And I can see David encouraging himself with his own testimony. I remember the time, and I remember the bed, and the king was trying to kill my father's sheep. And I took the lion, and I took the bed, and I slew the Lord of God. And David encouraged himself, Pastor, with his own testimony. Oh, God, I'm going to thank you, Jesus. God has given me more to say. Sometimes you have to remind yourself, get into the test. When you pass, give me the test, give me the path. You got a testimony, baby. You have overcome a struggle for life. And a word of your own testimony. What has God done through?
Amen.
David encouraged himself. He slew the lion. He slew the bear. And then I can see him get the real square shoulder and take it on the devil in the lion. I remember everybody was afraid of the lion and the giant. And I knew from my testimony, if God before me, there is nothing to be against you. And he encouraged himself and got the strength up. He got the courage up and the fear had to come. And the fear had to come in. And he said, I slew the lion. What a slave is suffering. So give me a prayer, God, hallelujah. Give me a prayer, God, in prayer. And my point of one that I'm going to make to you today, I heard the word for Sunday from this pulpit. The woman of God preached that word, but she emphasized the name of Jesus for us to be persistent in prayer, for us to be long suffering in prayer, for us to be diligent in prayer. I'm going to say it. John the Baptist, this story is about John the Baptist, or this text is about John the Baptist, whom we know followed with Zacharias and other Elizabeth. He was a miracle child. Elizabeth was barren. Zacharias and Elizabeth was in their old age. Gabriel and she came to Elizabeth and Zacharias and promised him a child. And we're about to read about John the Baptist, who is Elizabeth's birth. And as we see through John the Baptist, also he was the one crying out in the wilderness. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and be baptized. And the Bible says that thousands and hundreds of people came to John the Baptist in the wilderness to be baptized. But as Jesus comes on the scene, at the age of 33, he walks by the Jordan, and he comes on the scene, and behold, John stands out with a loud voice, behold the Lamb of God, which will take away the sin of the world. Because he said, if one has told me, the Spirit will come down on him to sin like a dove, I think that will be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. John had all of this to his advantage. John performed miracles. John saw glory to God, Jesus coming in his earthly form. John is the one that witnessed the things of God as he spoke to the power, as he spoke to the priests and the Sadducees and the kings in that day. Now John is in prison because he came as one of the kings in his day. And John was asking a question about Jesus. Are you in Acts chapter 27, verse 1? Say amen to that. We're talking about having courage under fire. John is in a fiery situation. And we can see the best of us can be weak and faithful. Amen to God. The strongest of us, every now and then, can possibly become weak in our faith. Verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end to be commanding the 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in all the cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the word of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame paralyzed people are walking, lepers are in cleansing you. The deaf who cannot hear are now hearing, and dead people are being raised from the dead. And those who are poor and poverty, the gospel is being preached to them. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended of me. We're going to read verses 11 and 12 in a minute, but the NIV that ever. The NLT, the NIV, that word be offended by me, my Bible in my NIV said, are falling away because of me, Jesus. Amen. Verse 11. What I'm going to say to you, go down to verse 11. Among them that are born of women, there has none been greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, but the violence came by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Your situation, your circumstances, if you find yourself in a hardship, that hardship is so uncomfortable that you begin to question God about where you are in God. John is in prison, And I don't know if you've been at these chapters, two disciples inquire of Jesus. I don't know if John is low on energy, but I know being part of a local body of believers, you encourage me, although I'm on the line. Because if I was isolated and all by myself, I don't have this support. Amen to God. And if something like Jesus sends them out two by two, we can never get to the place where we can allow the enemy to isolate us, to single us out, to get us apart from church and the people of God. Because I need you and you need me. We need each other. We are the body of believers. And when I'm there, I hope that God has the strength to pull me up. And if he has us, it's going to be all right. I know you're going through a hard time. I know you're there in 3 days and morning. But we pray for you, Pastor. We pray for you, Pastor Rebecca. We pray for your sisters. And we believe in God. And let him get through this dry season. Let him get through this storm. Heard you say, the kingdom of God is not but the Bible will take it back by force. Pastor, how do you do that? You have the power of God. You have the power of the loose. That's how you do it. Give God faith that life and death is the power of your tongue. And you find the disease in the other end now. Because what you find on earth, it will be down in heaven. When you lose healing over your life, it will be down in you and it's coming to you. With your name on the kingdom of God suffering violence and the violence they did back on our cross. Many of us are going through a lot. Many of us are going through a trial. And sometimes it feels like it's violent because it is violent. When that thing is in my heart, it was violent. My wife went to testimony about some childhood. It was a violent occurrence. But this is what they were saying. We can feel it. The kingdom of God is not a violence, but the violence is a violence by force. And the Bible says, when we violence with our mouth, it will be bound and tested. I remember violence and cancer of all my life, and now that I'm cancer free, I'm going to give God a brand new all the day of my life. I'm going to go home and spirit, I'm a marriage, I'm a marriage, I'm going to take it on the world.
We got a lot of work.
about giving enthusiasm, we go through. Amen, somebody. But this is God. This is nothing, man. Because I know my natural man. I know my natural personality. My natural way of thinking, I analyze. I obsess. I come to logical conclusions. That's the way I normally think. But when God said we're spiritual and walk in the spirit, guess what? I have to let go of anything. Come on, somebody. You have to let go and let God. You got to believe the way. See, when he said, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, it doesn't mean that they're inadequate. It does not mean that they're inferior. But it's simply saying to us that guess what? Because we have not arrived, we got to trust God. We got to believe God. We got to get to a place where, and I'm not done with y'all. Let me just finish this. And we're going to go over the chapters and see that sometimes when we go through, sometimes when we go through a fiery trial, there's a great purpose in that. There's a great lesson in that. But he says that the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. What does that mean? It's going to be John and have Jesus to be good. It's going to be me when we say grace is he that's in us, they see that in the world. That's going to mean that you and I have an anointing, you and I have the Holy Ghost, you and I have a spiritual power and authority that John the Baptist did not operate from. He was simply obedient to God, and he still saw signs, wonders, and miracles. Those of us with the Holy Ghost, those of us with the Holy Spirit, those of us baptized with fire and the anointed of God, those of us who are ordered on us to do the impossible, we are greater than John the Baptist. And it says, nobody born from holding up to this point is greater than John the Baptist, but we have to believe. See, I teach the faith of my hand and hand to the Word of God, but if you don't think you're anointing, if you don't think you have supernatural ability, if you don't think that there's some things in the natural realm of things, the world realm of things that we can see without our senses, that you can also for your faith, if you don't believe that, it will not happen. But when you believe that, when you get to the place and you can have small faith, and that faith has a mustard seed, and still see great results. Amen, God. And God, that's why God doesn't judge us on having big faith like Billy Graham or big faith like whoever is another great pastor or a great preacher or a teacher that you see out there. You don't have to have that level of faith. Because God has given all of us a measure of faith. Amen, somebody. Go to James chapter number 1. Watch this, what James says about having courage in the fire. The enemy's trying to take our courage. When you see sometimes a job, you're the only believer. You go to college, you go to school, and it looks like there's only Saint on campus. Sometimes you go back to your neighborhood, and it looks like not many people are going to church anymore. And you're going to have a certain courage, a certain tenacity, a certain stance. Because the Bible says we fight out against such and such against principality and against powers and against government service. And that stuff is only visible. But the Bible says we got to put on the whole armor of God. Amen. It says when you put on that helmet, you put on that breastplate, when you put on that shield to keep your soul, and when you believe God and pray in the Spirit always, now we can handle the things we're living in. Because when sickness comes, that's a fiery trial. When the poverty, you're looking at the funding, and you're looking at things that you're worried about, that's a fiery trial. When people that you are trusting in your former life and in your past, and they give up to the trick of trust, that's a fiery trial. Amen. And you got to understand when you go through those situations and those storms and those trials, there's a reason behind it. Are we in James? Are we in chapter 1 before God?
Amen.
Can we read that verse number 2? When you have to say amen.
Amen. The enemy is trying to frustrate and discourage and take our faith, but he can't do. James chapter 1, verse 2 says this before God. My brothers and my sisters, count it all joy. My God. Count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let us ask of God, that giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and he shall be given it to you. But let us ask in faith, not wavering. For he that not wavering, but he that is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Go to verse 12. Go to verse 12 right here. Not what I want to go to, but he's telling me to read. Let this man endure the temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither can it be any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away with his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. The enemy wants us all to sin because the wages of sin is death. That's his objective. So when we're going through a trial, and we begin to be in the armor of flesh and not the armor of God, we're going through a trial, and sometimes we turn to, you know, things that make the comfort of the time instead of the word of God. When we're going through a trial, and sometimes we think it's God putting his test on us, it doesn't seem fair. It says that God will never send us to evil. Amen. God will send us to self before God. It is not God, it is the devil. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So we have two opposing forces in our world on a daily basis. The enemy that keeps taking, keeps killing, keeps destroying. He's not going to stop. But Jesus said, I have the counter to that. I have the answer to that. I think that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And when we stop believing in Jesus, it is possible that he can do what we cannot do. Now the enemy gets the other hand. Because the trial that we go through, even though James is counting joy, because God allowed it because you can handle it, now you're seeing it as God somehow is going to say it. Oh, I've been there, that's it. Come on, everybody. When you're paying for your tithes and you still have to run trouble, you want to say, God, what's up? I'm putting you to open the window that says, well, yeah, bless you. So big that I can see, I have high out for years, and I'm put in debt. And the enemy will have you look in the natural realm, even though he said, I will bring the revival for your sake, because he's going to rebuke this revival. He's been handling his time, his end of the bargain. We're going to be looking at the money issues, and God has not kept you from Satan. God has not kept you from losing your mind. God has not kept you from life. God has treated you with joy. God has allowed you to do that you want, do that Satan, do that you are, to be in your right mind. But all of a sudden, we're back to trouble. All of a sudden, we're back to alcohol. All of a sudden, we're back to religion. And God has kept you, and you're just doing that, and just focus on the important issue that God was trying to see you.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your name's sake. That's why every time you have gotten, he already moved the heart on you and reached out to the prophet. Come on, give me a hand. we ask that you not be qualified, but you need the favor of God and the grace of God. You have to breathe, you have all the qualifications, but when you need that, when you need God's favor, you need God's mercy, you need God's open door, and open yourself, and if you are all the applicants, there are some applicants with your name qualifications that came up at the school that are all working to you, but your name keeps popping up, hallelujah, your name keeps coming up, hallelujah, your name keeps making it into the pot. Hallelujah, you're not in the need, but God is in the need. Come on, God. You're not in the need, but you're coming out of the hall, dreaming of your strong. You live higher than it all is yours. You're not in the need, you do not have the power, you do not have any influence, but God made it and move the heart of the king. He turned the heart of the king. Give God praise if you don't find a thing on my heart about it. You know it's a party, you didn't qualify for. You know it's a design. You know what you got, and no one goes around every right way. You know the Father turns your back to Jesus is God's favor.
My God, my God.
It's called favor before God. You read that kind of thing? God said, I choose who I want to bless. I choose who I want to favor. So I pray for this position. But it ain't for everybody. And I love it because he said, this one won't even be double-minded. We got to look at God because we see David was a double-minded, that's every God. He went to recover all, but we see John, who knew about the miracle, who still had to make a double request to say to Jesus, on one occasion or another, and God can come in the building. I said, John, I put down God. I think we're John, and he said, and then when they were going to start off reading the Spirit of God and wrap them down, and we think we're not as strong as Christians, we can be a shifty, and don't let the devil beat you up. We all have done that. That's why God says there's no limitation on the man, such as common to man, because when people say, oh, I'm the Lord of power, oh, we don't got that. So that's a temptation to give up.
Yeah, yeah.
But God says, and Christians, but God makes a way. Go on, Andrew. I didn't see that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I didn't see this, and that because somebody needs to see this scripture, and you need to highlight it in your Bible. 1 Corinthians 10, looking at verse 12 and 13. Because he just said about temptation. How we're going away with our own love and our own desire, and there's certain things that, you know, I have mentioned that is still there, it's still alive. And Paul said, we've got to crucify our flesh daily. Paul said, it's up to us to crucify that thing and not resurrect it. Amen. Come on, people, God. We have the ability to crucify certain things, and sometimes it has the ability to resurrect itself because we're not crucifying it. And God is saying, sometimes you got to examine yourself and wonder why that thing is still alive. Amen. We got to wonder why that's still around, why that thing is still in your thoughts, why that thing is still in your flesh. But let's look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12 and 13. Then we go to Hebrews. That's our wonder term. But let's talk about temptation. They said, don't thank God for that. When we're tempted, sometimes it's us. Because the enemy wants us to sin. But verse 12 says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed unless he fall. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God has faithful, say God.
I have faithful.
Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able? But will overcome the temptation of you will escape, that you may be able to bear it. This is where the scripture is not located. God says in this particular text, people who have egos, people who are prideful, people who are arrogant, people who are not nice and kind, people who are independent and in their self-sufficient, they better beware lest they fall. Because God comes with a spirit of humility. Come on, somebody. And he says to people, God, he says, humble yourself. It's just, you know, sometimes I'm around men, and I'm around women, they say, the church is full of women, and we have men, and, there are a lot of men who won't humble themselves, and they're prideful. But God has a great relationship with all of his creation.
Amen.
I'm a man, and I can tell you, God will be loud and clear. God has, he's not just a thing. I'll say it earlier, it's your chosen. And when you're chosen, he created you before you created your mother's womb. He knows what makes you sick, and he knows how to get through you. Amen? Because our parents are trying to give us good counsel and good advice. Am I the only one that's interested in all of our parents about this? We know that we know
It's the name of the king, but he
call aside to turn the world upside down. So, courage under fire. Let me take some more courage under fire. Hebrews chapter number 11, and I'm going to wrap up. Hebrews chapter number 11. Because I don't have time to go to Joshua, but after Moses died, the people were so in love with Moses, and Joshua knew that he wasn't going to get the same treatment that Moses got. And he knew the people that funny guy.
Yeah.
One of Moses' love was in him. Joshua knew he needed God. And three times that God told Joshua to take our people over to the promised land, three different times through that conversation, God told Joshua, be of good courage. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. And people didn't receive that courage, but eventually they received it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Amen. I pray that this helps somebody to God be the glory. The enemy's trying to get us discouraged. Distant from the things of God. Trying to move us out of our blessed place. Don't let the church. Hebrews 11:1.
Oh boy.
Back up to Hebrews. We don't need to do another one. Back up to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Just back up there real quick. Hebrews, we're going to go right to the top of close. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive his promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. You and I have lived by faith, not by sight. But if any man draw back, that's what I was just talking about. Some people leave God. Some people draw back. Some people go back. My soul, this is God speaking, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God will not please when we backslide when we go back. Verse number 39. But we are not of them that dwell back and go back, like one of your position, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you go on to read, it talks about many of these parts, many of these people that God believes in God and faith, that they died under fire and trial, and that they had courage until they died dead. But when we read verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. The connection there is that from the invisible realm, when we don't possess it yet, when we can't taste it, we can't see it, we can't touch it, we can't hear it yet, God is saying to us, even in that state, if you keep believing me, I'm pleased with you.
Amen.
It's not that you have it, it's not that it's coming to you soon. It's not that I'm going to give you a time scale or a point of reference where a set time and good season that you have to get what you're going to be back right now. But the simple fact that you believe in me in spite of all odds that are against you. Everything around is second to you, and it's not going to happen when you believe in God. Everything that you see, the years that have passed, the circumstances that you find yourself in, God already shows you that someday you're going to be dead free. You're not losing your mind. You didn't have a figure in your imagination. God spoke to you clearly. You still remember the last part of you, and you are going to one day be dead free. You don't know how to do it, or you don't know what to do, or you don't know what to do, or you know that there's somewhere and not adding a lot of bad desire, or you know what to do. from you. Something that you are going to be upset. I don't have to own God. I said that you. I don't want to be the rule. I don't have to be the rule.
Numbers, chapter number 14.
Old Testament book of Numbers. I think it absolutely is. Yes, it is. Numbers 14.
God is going to hold a cross for You are free indeed. You got peace in your mind.
heart, it pleases your 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 heart, because I'm a subject for coming this way. Don't worry about it. Give it to God. This one who is faithful holds some of all power. Wait till I'm a worship. Yes, I'm a father of hope. It's funny to be a tendency. Glory to God. It's coming on you, Lord. Show the hope. Let me share it again. Come out. Many of you are going to be set free for your testimony. There are many that will be set free for your life. Your lifestyle. There are many who are watching you know how to look. But you keep holding your head high. You keep walking, working out in the spirit. You keep allowing God to pour your fresh for you. And because of that fresh fire, everything in your path that we burnt up, that is not of God. Everywhere you walk, glory to God. You may hate it on, you may have hate it on God, and you have to get around your head. Or you may have people seeing it in the body, but they don't know how to do it. They got to back up.
With that anointing, with that zeal, with that passion that you have for me,
I'm going to use you in this season, oh Lord. I don't know your ability to you, but in that, what you do daily, you think it's basic, you think it's just going through what you normally go through. In that, I said, I'm just going to be going through your daily, and God is going to show you, glory to God, how He's going to use you, and you go through all the problems, and you go through it. So, she's going to be, I can't believe a word of God.
What is your love? What is your love? What is your love? What is your love? What is your love?
is never landed in place. We fight for our families, we fight for our marriages, we fight for our churches, we fight for our tomorrow. The kingdom of God is coming to life. Finally, it is our course. We don't take an offering and go down on this place. Courage under fire. Don't let the enemy take your courage. Don't let the enemy take your faith. Don't allow the devil to even get into your mindset. It starts with the thoughts. It starts with us getting our mind on Christ. As you sow your seed, keep that courage under fire. Whatever it is you're going through, don't hang your head low or hang your head high. Look to the hills of your help. Your help comes from above. To God be the glory. We are blessed to pass the Lord. This will be an offer. Can we get a blessing out to the change here? To God be the glory. He's just going to not carry. God has already spoken. I know what he's telling me is over. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Hallelujah.
Amen. Go ahead and praise God for the word. Amen. Put on that God for praise. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Hallelujah. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. Lord, for the word of God. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the vessel of the poor of God. We thank you for the sort of man you on tonight, God. Lord, we thank you. We receive the word on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Pastor, we thank you for that powerful word on tonight. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. The difference I mean, we do have our most of these envelopes. We can serve you with not even this cup and deposit your offering into. The basket on tonight. God is good. A word to be praised. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. We worship you. Amen. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. Strip the hands of the back will be favorable. Father God, we thank you. We praise you for Father God, our words that we receive on the back. We show up in this atmosphere. We show up in this word on the back, God. And we are so grateful to you, Lord, for all that you have poured out to us on tonight. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That has just rested upon us in this atmosphere on tonight. God, we run out of here with this word. We're going to manifest the word, exercise the word, speak your word, declare your word, oh God. Hallelujah. Produce it your word. So, Lord, we just thank you for the money that are in the top. Plant our feet in this place, oh God. We thank you that they are, oh God, for that cancellation. We thank you that as we give, it shall be given back. We're pressed out, shaken together, overflowing. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we receive everything that you have ordained for us, oh God. And we take it, even though the kingdom of God comes to finally, we take it by force. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Just bring it down as we get ready to go out from this place. Next Wednesday is Women's Word Wednesday. Amen. So next Wednesday we will be getting together as women. I believe God wants to do something in love for the women. Amen. Of His word. Because we go through so much. God has healed me and He still heals me. Yes. Amen. I love my nephew. About three weeks ago, we went down and we did his service. We officiated the celebration of life and we preached the unity. Pastor and I preached the unity together on Saturday. But it was a sad occasion. While at the same time, it is a joyful occasion. Because we know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And amen. Come on and praise God. Praise God. And we have to get outside of our boxes that we have put God in. and dare to be bold enough to reach our young people, to reach them on that level. And I thank God because this young man was 21 years old, but when he was about 12, 13 years old, he gave his life to the Lord, a new creation, a Christian ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So my soul rejoices in knowing that even though sometimes it seems like we're doing an effort, that we're making a major impact. And even as you were preaching, Pastor, you are Facebook Live, every corner. Just rejoicing at the word and praising God at the word that they preach, Pastor. But they have an idea what it's like to be in this atmosphere, to have that word for basketball for you directly, and going into your spirit directly, and then to be praying to God. As a normal, I want to be in the house a little. I thank God for being in the house a little.
Give a sister a compliment. Hallelujah.